as we stand a prayer. Our gracious Father, as we consider the words of the Lord Jesus this morning, please open our ears that we might hear, and open our hearts to take them in. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We are on page 979 in the small Bibles. It may be a help to have that before you. Our focus today is on the parable of the sower, which we just heard read. I don't know if you've been to the doctor's surgery lately, but in this parable, the Lord Jesus gives us a hearing test. He helps us to test how we are hearing the word of God. And this is really important, because if we hear well, the message of Jesus produces a wonderful crop in our lives. But if we hear poorly, it yields only a shriveled stalk. Now, with such a famous parable, I want to say as we start, be careful not to underestimate the parables of Jesus. They are designed to sort out the humble from the proud. If we come to Jesus' parables with a proud dismissiveness, we'll get nothing from them. But if we come with a humble willingness to listen to Jesus, then we find great treasures in them. You might imagine someone in Jesus' day who hears him tell the parable of the sower. And the man who heard Jesus tell the parable of the sower goes home and he says to his wife, "That Jesus isn't all he's cracked up to be. I've just heard his teaching. It's children's stories." And he dismisses the parables as facile. Well, Jesus says of those with that proud attitude in verse 13, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Their pride has blinded them to the meaning of the parables." But imagine somebody else who heard Jesus tell the parable of the sower, and he goes away and he thinks it over. He tells it to himself again. He prays for insight into the meaning of the parable. Well, Jesus says in verse 16 of those with that humble attitude, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it." With that humble attitude, we find in these simple stories great depths of teaching that people before Christ would have longed even to catch a glimpse of. Well, as you know, the parable starts with a farmer taking great handfuls of seed and scattering it all over his farm. The passage tells us that the seed represents the message about the kingdom, verse 19. We've seen in our studies in Matthew's Gospel that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is men and women living under the care and rule of God. And the message of the kingdom is the wonderful news that with the coming of Jesus, anyone can enter that kingdom, if only they will turn to Christ as king of their lives. That's the seed, the message of the kingdom. And as the farmer sows his seed, it lands on four different kinds of soil, as you know. And those soils represent four different ways that we might hear the message of the kingdom. So first of all, some seed fell on the path. Now in those days, they would have around the edge of the field and perhaps across the middle of the field, a path of trampled earth. Now I'm not a farmer, but even I know that such hard-pressed earth can't take the seed in. It sits on the surface, the birds come, it's gone in a flash. Well, verse 19, Jesus says, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path." Now, understand here refers not just to intellectual understanding, but to taking it in. See, it's possible to hear the message of Jesus week by week, but to be thinking about what's coming up later in the service, or what we're having for lunch, or what we're doing later in the day, and it's in one ear and it's out the other. Actually, the evil one has snatched it away. So we should ask ourselves each week, what am I taking in from the Word of God? In any Bible reading, there'll be things we don't understand. Some things we don't understand, do ask us about them. But the important thing is that there's something that we can understand and take in and hold on to. Don't be like the path that takes nothing in. Well, next in the parable, some seed fell on the rocky places. Now, in fields in Galilee, there would often be parts of the field where the layer of bedrock was very close to the surface. So on top, you know, maybe there's just a couple of centimetres of soil and then the rock so close underneath. Well, what happens if seed lands in that rocky ground? When the hot weather starts, that shallow soil heats up very quickly. And so the seeds in there, they spring up first. And it looks like it's going to be the best of the whole crop. But there's no root. And as the sun bakes on it, it withers and perishes. The root can't go deep in the rocky places. Well, in verse 20, Jesus says, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Now, this is the person who hears the message that Jesus came to give his life for their sins, that they can be forgiven and that they can come home to God. And when they hear the message, they are delighted. But later, trouble comes. Notice Jesus says when, not if. Perhaps they get the cold shoulder socially from those who scoff at Christian things, and they quietly let their new faith drop. And Jesus says the problem is they had no root. They hadn't allowed his word to go deeply into their hearts. You see, we need to take time to ponder and reflect the message of Jesus. If you like, to work it down deep into our lives so that his message starts to shape our attitudes to others, our decisions, our priorities in life. We need that root of the word going deep if we're to keep going. So don't be like the rocky places. They take the message in, but they don't let it go deep. Well, next in the parable, some seed fell among the thorns. Now, I understand in those days they didn't have hedges, as we would say hedges, around the field. Instead, they would leave strips where the thorns could grow, and those thorns became a kind of hedge in the field. But of course, if seed lands in that thorny ground, as the little plant grows up, the thorns grow up around it, and they choke it of light and the moisture it needs to grow. The thorny ground. Verse 22, Jesus says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. This is the person who hears the word of God and takes it in, but they don't give it space in their lives to grow. And Jesus puts his finger on two things that can particularly choke his word in our lives. The first is the worries of this life. And we may have great burdens and concerns, and we want to help one another with those and bear one another's burdens. But the problem starts when all we can think about is those worries of this life. There's no space in our hearts to think about the message of Jesus anymore. And so the worries of this life choke out the word. The other thorn that Jesus mentions is the deceitfulness of wealth. Now, wealth can be a useful tool in serving God and in loving other people. But Jesus says, don't let the desire for more things or more experiences choke out his message in our life. What is it that sets the direction of our lives? The message of Jesus or the desire for more? Don't let it become a thorn. So that's the warning of the thorny ground. Make sure you have space to hear and to put into practice the message of Jesus. Well, we've seen the path that didn't take it in at all, the rocky places that didn't let it go deep, and the thorns that didn't give it space to grow. But now for the good bit of the parable. There was also good soil, where the seed fell and produced a wonderful harvest. Verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the person who hears the word and understands it. They produce a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, one of the things I love about the late summer is walking up in the fields and seeing fields full of corn. And as far as you look, the golden wheat stretches, the eye can see, and waves in the wind. It's a beautiful sight. And it's amazing to think that all of that wheat came from little seeds that were sown into the ground. Well, in the same way, the Word of God, if we receive it rightly, can produce a beautiful harvest in our lives. And I think the crop that Jesus has in mind here is the fruit of the Spirit. You know how that's described later in the Bible, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, the goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. If we'll take the Word of God into our lives and give it space to grow, then gradually, but really, it will produce that wonderful crop. It's what it means to be good soil. There was a time when Christians would often pray on Saturday evening for God's help to be good soil as they heard his word read and explained at church the next day. Then on Sunday afternoon, they would take a few minutes to consider privately or to discuss what they were taking in from the message and what it meant for them to put it into practice. And then later in the week, they would take some moments perhaps to look back over the scriptures that had been read on Sunday or to look at other short passages. Well, I want to suggest that those are not old-fashioned practices. Those are great ways of helping ourselves to be good soil to the message of Jesus. And this is why, as a church, we work to sow the seed of God's word to those around us. It's why, for example, we have an address in all of our carol services explaining the message of Christmas. Sadly, there will be those who, like the path, the rocky places, the thorny ground, don't take it in. But wonderfully, there are also those out there who are good soil. There will be many in our country this Christmas time who hear the message of Jesus and their lives will be transformed. And so we pray for those who will be joining us at the carol services that whatever kind of soil they've been previously, this year they would be good soil. But as we conclude, let's think about ourselves. Let me ask you, how is your hearing? So Jesus is hearing test. But how's our hearing? What kind of soil are we most like at the moment in the way we hear the message of Jesus? You see, if we want to get to heaven at last, it's not enough just to hear the message of Jesus. Even the past does that. We need to take it in. And it's not enough just to take in the message of Jesus. Even the rocky ground does that. We need to let it take its roots deep into our lives. So it's shaping our attitudes, our priorities, our decisions. But it's not enough even just to take the word in deep. The thorny ground does that. No, we need to give the message of Jesus space. Space to grow in our lives as we put it into practice. That's what it means to be good soil. Remember those three traditional practices I mentioned? Praying on Saturday for God's help as we hear on Sunday. Thinking on Sunday afternoon, what am I taking in? How can I put it into practice? Later in the week, looking back at these things and other scriptures. Let us seek God's help earnestly that we might be good soil as we hear the message of Jesus. With God's help, may that be true in each of us. Amen.